إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after the last few days discussing and commenting upon the advice of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz rahimahullah to the students at the Islamic University of Medina, and in general to everyone who is seeking knowledge and the advice that he has given to us, especially the mention of those five very important matters which are from amongst the most important things that helps a person, or that can help a person in achieving the acquisition and attainment of knowledge. After this discussion, we would like to continue this morning with some advice from Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah that's more general, even though his advice to the students at the university and the students in knowledge in general includes all of us, because every Muslim is obligated to be a seeker of knowledge. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim, yani that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. No one is exempt from this. So therefore, no doubt the advice that he has given to the students, it is an advice to all of us. However, what we want to review this morning is more general advice, and inshallah, it is entitled Al-Qur'an Huwa Al-Badil. Al-Qur'an Huwa Al-Badil. The Qur'an, it is the replacement or the substitute for whatever you are doing with your time. And whatever you are doing with your time, occupying yourself with the Qur'an is better than that. So the Shaykh, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz rahimahullah, he was asked the question, مَا نَصِيحَةَ الشَّيْخ لَلَّذِينَ يَمْدِي عَلَيْهِمْ الشَّهْرُ وَالشُّهُورُ الطَّوِيلَةِ وَلَا يَمَسُّونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ الْكَرِيمِ بِدُونَ عُذْرٍ وَتَجِدُ أَحَدُهُمْ يُتَابِعُ الْمَجَلَّاتِ غَيْرُ الْمُفِيدَةِ. Yani, what is the advice of the Shaykh for those who a whole month pass by them, rather many months pass by them, and they didn't even touch the noble book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't have any excuse. Yani, they don't have any excuse why they didn't touch the Qur'an, why they didn't open the Qur'an. There's no excuse whatsoever for them. They just didn't bother. They didn't feel they have any need for the Qur'an. Yani, imagine a Muslim, months go by without opening the Qur'an. And maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, we passed by the mention by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim Al-Abad, Al-Badr, Hafidhumullah, where he mentioned that he found a young man in his 20s, maybe 20 years old or a little older, whose whole body had been burnt. And because of his desire to open the Qur'an, he used to read the Qur'an even though he couldn't turn the pages himself, but he would ask somebody to open it and turn the pages for him when he finished reading a page. So what is our situation, and what is our condition, and what is our excuse that months go by, or weeks go by, or days go by, and we didn't touch the Qur'an. So the Shaykh, yani, he responds to this question, what is your advice to such a person that a month or months pass him by and he didn't touch the noble book of Allah and he had no excuse? And the same person, you find one of them following diligently the magazines that contain no benefit at all. Yani, they don't miss a day from reading from those magazines. Newsweek, Time, I don't know, whatever it is. Magazines and newspapers that in reality do not contain any benefit for a person that will be on the scales of good deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Shaykh, he says, it is sunnah for the mu'min and the mu'mina, the believing man and the believing woman. It is sunnah al-ikthar min qira'ati kitabillah مع التدبر والتعقل سواء كان ذلك من المصحف أو من ظهر قلب. يعني it is sunnah for the believing man and the believing woman to increase, to be frequent in their reading and recitation of the Book of Allah. Reading it with tadabbur, with contemplation, with reflection, pondering over its meaning, and ta'aqqul, yani with understanding and comprehension of what is being read. It is sunnah to read the Qur'an frequently, but reading it with tadabbur and ta'aqqul, reflecting on its meaning and comprehending its meaning. No matter whether the person is reading it from the mushaf, yani the printed copy of the Qur'an, or they are reading it from their memory, from what they have memorized. And this is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sad, the 38th surah, 29th ayat, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Yani that this book is a book that has been revealed to you, and it is blessed, full of blessings, mubarak, a blessed book, full of blessings. And it has been sent down to you so that you may reflect upon its ayat, so that you may ponder over its ayat, contemplate its ayat, and so that the ulul albab, the people of understanding, so that they would remember, that they would be reminded, that they would take heed. And the Shaykh is saying that it is sunnah, yani it is something that the believer, and notice that he said lil mu'min wal mu'mina, he didn't say lil muslim wa muslima, because this is an indication that a person has iman, that their heart is attached to the Quran. So he used a better word. He said this is what is expected from the mu'min, the person who has iman. Why? Because it is a book that is full of blessings that Allah has sent down for you to reflect upon and to take heed from what you found in it. And likewise, he said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th surah, 29th and 30th ayat. The saying of Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَأَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورُ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily those who are reciting, yani those who recite the book of Allah, and they establish the salah, and they spend from what we have provided them with, secretly and openly. Yani those who recite the book of Allah, and they establish the salah, and they spend from that which Allah has provided them with, secretly and openly, يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً, hoping for a trade, a profit that will never cease. A profit, a benefit that will never go away. Not like the profit in this world. a person works hard for a whole day, or 2 days, or a week, or a month, to make some money, and the profit that they made will soon be gone. But this profit, it will never cease, it will never perish. For the one who what? Recites the Book of Allah, establishes the Salah, and spends from that which Allah has given to you, secretly and openly, hoping for a trade, for a profit that will never perish. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them, will give them their reward in full. Full. And on top of that, He will increase them. Min fadlihi. From His bounty and His favor, extra, above and beyond. Indeed, innahu ghafurun shakur. He is the one who is all forgiving, and He is the one who appreciates, who recognizes the good that we do. After this, the Shaykh, he says, so this tilawa, at-tilawa al-madhkura, this tilawa, this recitation that's mentioned in this ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, those who recite the Book of Allah, this tilawa, this recitation that's mentioned here, it includes al-qira'a wal-ittiba'. It includes reading the Book of Allah, and it also includes ittiba', following that which it contains. Yani it's not just reading, as some people will imagine, that they read a lot of Quran, but they don't follow any of it. You can see clearly that they don't care about what is in the Quran. It's just recreation. Or maybe they think, yani they're reading for barakah, like the Quran is not intended to be acted upon, rather it's just to be read, as some people, many people imagine. This recitation that's mentioned here in this ayat, it includes al-qira'a, reading, wal-ittiba', and following, that is acting upon what you are reading. Indeed, al-qira'a bit-tadabbur wa-ta'aqqul wal-ikhlas lillahi wasilatun lil-ittiba'. Yani, the reading of Quran with tadabbur, reflection, contemplation, along with seeking comprehension and understanding of what you are reading, and doing so sincerely, with ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah. This type of reading, and this is the reading that we're looking for. We're looking for the one who recites the Quran, contemplating its meaning, seeking to understand and comprehend, and doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. This type of reading is the means of a person achieving al-ittiba'. Yani the one who reads like this is the one who has the ability then to follow, to act upon it. And indeed, in this reading, there is a great reward for the one who reads like this. As it has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari. And he said, اِقْرَأُوا Al-Quran. Read the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ. For indeed, the Quran will come on يوم القيامة as an intercessor for its companions. Yani for who? As we read a few days ago in the advice of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, where he mentioned another hadith that the Quran will come on يوم القيامة. Yeah, it will come on يوم القيامة. Wa ahlihi, and along with it, its people, the people of the Quran. And who are the people of Quran? Who are its ashab, its companions? Alladhina ya'maluna bihi, those who act upon it. Not necessarily those who just read it, but rather ahlul Quran are those who act upon it. Wa qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the best of you, the best of you, na'am, without exception, the best of you is the one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it. Who learns the Qur'an and teaches it. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنًا والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف، ولكن ألف حرف، ولام حرف، وميم حرف. And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said in the Sahih of At-Tirmidhi that this hadith is Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever reads a letter, harf, a letter from the Book of Allah, then he will have, as a result of that, recorded for him a hasana, a good deed, for every letter. And this hasana will be equal to 10 like it. Yani, the hasana that will be recorded from reciting one letter will be multiplied by at least 10, as every good deed is multiplied by 10. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I do not say that alif lam mim is a harf, but rather alif, the letter alif, this is a letter, and lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. Yani, meaning, the meaning of this what? That every single letter that you recite from the Quran sincerely for the sake of Allah, inshallah, you will get recorded for you a hasana that will be multiplied by 10. And these hadith and these ayat from the Quran, the Shaykh is just enumerating few ayat and hadith to make us to know the importance of the Quran and why he's saying it is sunnah for the believer, the believing man and the believing woman, to read the Quran frequently, to increase in the recitation of the Quran with contemplation and reflection and comprehension and acting, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah, acting upon what we found in it. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions that it has been confirmed. ثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لعبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما. It is confirmed that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, that he said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, اقرأ القرآن في كل شهر, يعني read the Quran every month, meaning complete it, read the whole Quran in the period of a month. قال قلت أطيق أكثر من ذلك. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنهما, he said, I said to him, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can do more than that. Yani, I can read the Quran, the whole Quran, in less than a month. It doesn't take me a whole month. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اقرأ في كل سبع ليال مرة. Yani, read it in every 7 nights or in every 7 days, meaning in the course of 7 days, in the course of a week, then read it one time. And read the whole Quran in a week. Now, of course, to most of us, this might be, yani, almost beyond our imagination, that we're going to read the whole Quran every week. But in any case, this is the reality of the matter. The Prophet ﷺ said, read the Quran in a month. Yani, every day, read one portion of the Quran and complete it in a month. But when Abdullah, he said, I can do better than that, he said, then read it in a week. And in fact, the Shaykh, he doesn't complete the hadith here, but the Prophet ﷺ, in some of the narrations, went on to say to him, read it in 3 days, but not in less than that. So that means that a person who reads the Quran in 3 days, they will read 10 juz of the Quran every single day. Naam. The Shaykh, he then says, وكان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يختمونه في كل سبعين. And the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they used to complete the reading of the entire Quran in every 7 days. يعني once a week. So then the Shaykh, he says, ووصيتي لجميع قراء القرآن. And my advice, and we just got finished reading his advice to the students, and now he's saying, my advice to all of those who read the Quran, yani especially those who yani are attentive, who are constant and consistent and diligent in reading the Quran. But it includes anyone who reads the Quran. Whoever yani their heart is somewhat attached to the Quran, he said, my advice to to all of those who are readers of the Quran, al-ikthar min qira'atihi bil-tadabbur wa ta'akkul wal-ikhlas lillahi ma'a qasdi al-fa'ida wal-ilm. That my advice to all of those who read the Quran is that they increase, that they increase, that they be more frequent in their reading of the Quran with contemplation and reflection and pondering and understanding and comprehension of its meanings, and that they do it with ikhlas, sincerely, for the sake of Allah, along with the objective of seeking its benefit, the benefits that are found in the Quran and the knowledge that is found in it. Yani, with the intention, having the objective of getting the benefit of what is in the Quran, any type of benefit, especially the knowledge that is in the Quran. And the Shaykh, he says, and likewise, my advice to the readers of Quran is that they complete the reading of the Quran every month, every month. At least try to finish the Quran in 1 month. And if it is made easy for a person to do it in less than a month, then this is khayrun azim. This is a great, tremendous khayr, yani good. This is a tremendous thing. Naam. And it is also permissible for a person to complete the Quran in less than seven days. And that which is better is that a person does not complete the Quran in less than 3 days. Don't try to complete the Quran in less than 3 days. And that is because this is the least amount of time that the Prophet ﷺ guided or pointed to or instructed Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, to complete the Quran. Yani the least amount of time that he instructed him with was 3 days. And this is because reading it in less than 3 days may lead a person to be hasty in reading the Quran. And this, and the absence of yani tadabbur. And they will not be able to reflect upon it or contemplate its meaning. Then the Shaykh says, in closing, finally, he says, وَلَا يَجُوزْ أَنْ يَقْرَأُهُ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ طَهَارَةٍ. And it's not permissible to read from the Mus'haf except that you are in a state of tahara, in a state of purification. And of course, this is a fiqh issue. What follows, it is fiqh. And whoever wants to should go back and read the opinions of the scholars concerning this. But this is what he's saying. Yani, his view concerning this matter. It's not permissible for a person to read from the Mus'haf except they're in a state of purification. And no doubt that is best. As far as the person who is reading it from their memory, then there is no harm in them to read the Quran while they are not having wudu, while they are not in a state of purification from wudu. There's no harm. If a person needs wudu, yani minor state of impurity, there's no harm in reading the Quran from memory if they are in that condition. As far as the one who's in a major state of impurity, the junub, yani from sexual defilement or such, then this person does not have the right to read from the mushaf, from the printed copy of the Quran, nor even from their memory, until they take a ghusl, complete bath. And the Shaykh is saying, if a person needs wudu, they have a minor state of impurity, there's no harm in reading the Quran from their memory. But as far as the person who is junub, in a major state of impurity, then it's not permissible to read from the mushaf, nor to read from their memory until they take a ghusl. And this is based upon what has been narrated by Imam Ahmed and the Ahlul Sunan, yani that is in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasai, with a isnad that is Hassan from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يهجزه وربما قال لا يهجبه من القرآن شيء ليس الجنابة. And this is because Ali mentions that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that nothing prevented him or nothing hindered him from the recitation of the Quran except al-janaba. Yani except the person who is in a major state of impurity. And as I said, this is also a fiqh matter, and the authenticity of this hadith is disputed, and the scholars have various opinions about it, but in any case, this is what he said, وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ, and success is from Allah. And anyone who's able, who would like to read the full discussion of this hadith and what has been said about it by the scholars, they can see Irwal Ghalil, volume 2, page 241 to 245, hadith number 485, for a complete discussion of this hadith. Naam. The second advice that we want to read from the Shaykh related to the Qur'an is فَضْلُ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ, yani the excellence and the virtue of memorizing the Qur'an. The excellence of memorizing the Qur'an. And I would say here that if anyone due to their yani weakness of their memory or old age or whatever, who might feel that they could never memorize the Qur'an, well, don't give up hope of at least memorizing something from the Qur'an. Naam. Because as we heard a few days ago, the Ahlul Qur'an are those who read the Qur'an, reflecting on its meaning, seeking to understand it, and acting upon it, even if they didn't memorize the Qur'an in its entirety. Rather, the Ahlul Qur'an are those who act upon the Qur'an, who live by it. So, the excellence of memorizing the Qur'an. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he was asked. A person said to him, verily, often, frequently, I memorize an ayah from the noble Qur'an. However, after a short period of time, I forget it. And likewise, sometimes when I read an ayah of the Qur'an, I don't know if my recitation is correct or not. Then I find out after that I was in error, that I was reading wrongly. So can you please point me, yani guide me, help me in this matter? The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, what is legislated for you, O my brother, is that you make the best effort possible, tajtahid, yani strive and make every effort in memorizing whatever is easy for you from the Book of Allah. Whatever is easy for you. Can't memorize the whole of it? Memorize something from it. No one should be saying, I can't memorize the Qur'an, so they don't memorize anything from it. Wallahi, wallahi. Whatever you have memorized of the Qur'an, it is not acceptable. It's not befitting of a believer to be content with having memorized 10 or 20 or 30 surahs of the Qur'an. And they feel that this is good. That's enough for me. This is not acceptable. Not acceptable. What is legislated is that you exert yourself and make every effort to memorize whatever is easy for you to memorize from the Quran, whatever is possible, and that you read it to some of the good brothers in the schools or in the masjids or at home, and that you eagerly seek out, earnestly, be diligent in that, in doing so. Don't take the matter lightly until those who you read to, who know the Quran, they can correct your reading. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's reported in Al-Bukhari, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنُ وَعَلَّمَهُ, the best of you is those who learn the Qur'an and who teach it. So the best of the people are the Ahlul Qur'an. The Ahlul Qur'an, الَّذِينَ تَعَلَّمُوهُ وَعَلَّمُوهُ النَّاسِ وَعَمِلُوا بِهِ. The best of you are the Ahlul Qur'an, those who they learned it. They learned the Qur'an and they taught it to the people and they acted upon it. And they acted upon it. And also due to the statement of the Prophet ﷺ to some of his companions, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيَّذْهَبَ إِلَىٰ بُطْهَانِ فَيَأْتِي بِنَاقَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ فِي غَيْرِ إِثْنِ وَلَا قَطِيَةِ الرَّحْمِ. Would any one of you love to go to a place, this place called Buthan, which is, and it wasn't too far from them, to go there and to come back with two great camels without having fallen into any sin and without cutting the ties of relations. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كُلُّنَا نُحِبُّ ذَلِكَ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, every one of us would like to go to Buthan and come back with two great big camels without committing any sin. We didn't steal or anything. And we didn't engage in anything that's displeasing to Allah, like cutting the ties of relation. This is what they said. Every one of us would love to. And inshallah, we say the same thing, right? Every one of us would love to come back with two great camels. Go over to East New York or someplace not far from here and come back with two great camels without committing any sin. Every one of us, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, لِأَنْ يَغْضُوَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَيَتَعَلَّمُ آيَتَيْنِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنَ النَّاقَتَيْنِ الْعَظِيمَتَيْنِ. That if one of you gets up in the morning and goes to the masjid, and he learns two ayat from the book of Allah, that's better for him than two great camels. Naam. وَثَلَاثٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. And learning three ayats is better than three great camels. وَأَرْبَعٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ. And learning four ayats is better than four of these great camels. وَمِنْ أَعْدَادِهِنَّ مِنَ الْإِبْلِ. يعني, and whatever number it might be, any number of ayat that you learn from the Book of Allah is better than that number of camels. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, or as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned it. The Shaykh said, so this makes clear to us the excellence of learning the noble Qur'an. فَأَنْتَ يَا أَخِي عَلَيْكَ بِتَعَلُّمَ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الْإِخْوَانِ الْمَعْرُوفِينَ بِإِجَادَةِ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنَ حَتَّى تَصْتَفِيدَ وَتَقْرَأَ قِرَاءَةً صَحِيحَةً. So he said, oh my brother, it is incumbent upon you to learn the Qur'an from those brothers who are known to be proficient in the recitation of the Qur'an, so that you will benefit and that you will read with a correct recitation. As far as the one who, or that which you mentioned concerning nisyan, forgetfulness that occurs, you learn something and then you forget it, then there's no harm against you in that. For every human being forgets. Every human being forgets. And this is as he, the Prophet ﷺ, said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَا. That I am a human being just like you, and I forget just as you forget. This hadith recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, heard a person reciting the Quran one day, and he said to him, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ لَقَدْ أَذْكَرَنِي كَذَا وَكَذَا آيَاتِ أَسْقَطْتُهُنَّ مِنْ سُرَةُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Yani, may Allah have mercy upon this person. He has reminded me of such and such ayat that I had, yani, dropped, that I had left off from such and such surah. He reminded the Prophet ﷺ of an ayat that he had forgotten from such and such surah. Yani, he had been caused to forget it. And this hadith is also mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. And then the Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, والمقصود أن الإنسان قد ينسى بعض الآيات ثم يذكر أو يذكر أو يذكر غيره يذكره غيره. نعم. He said, what is intended here is that a person might forget some ayat, and then he will remember, or somebody else will remind him. And what is preferable to say is نصيتُ. Yani, that instead of saying I forgot, it is better to say I was caused to forget. And this is because of what has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, لَا يَقُولْ أَحَدُكُمْ نَسِيتُ آيَةً كَيْتَ وَكَيْتَ بَلْ هُوَ نُسِّيَ. Yani, that no one should say I have forgotten this in such and such ayat, but rather he should say he was caused to forget, meaning that shaitan caused him to forget. And as far as the hadith, which is reported in some of the books of Sunan like Abu Dawood, in which it is mentioned, من حفظ القرآن ثم نسيه لقي الله وهو أجذم. Yani, that whoever memorizes the Quran and then forgets it, and he will meet Allah, yani, like one who is mutilated, yani, like a limb from his body has been cut off. He said this hadith is da'if, according to the people of knowledge, and it is not confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So forgetfulness is not something that the human being has a choice in. It's not something that you have control over. It's not in your power to escape from it. So what is intended is that what is legislated for you is to memorize مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Whatever you are able to, whatever Allah has made easy for you, then it is legislated that you attempt to do that. And that you give your constant attention and full commitment to doing so. That you take the matter seriously. And that you read the Qur'an to those who are proficient in recitation of the Qur'an. So that they can correct for you your mistakes. وَفَقَكَ اللَّهُ وَيَسَّرَ أَمْرَكَ. And the Shaykh makes dua for the brother and for us. That may Allah grant you success and make easy for you your affair. And we'll close with this very short yani statement, advice from Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. I see the time is upon us. And very brief and very important. Tariqatu Hifdhul Quran. Probably somebody is asking, okay, I'd like to start memorizing an ayat or two from the Quran. Yani that's better than two great camels, right? But how do you do it? Especially in old age, right? Especially most of us are old people here. Huh? Not you, right? Okay, no problem. So how do you do it? So, the Shaykh, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he was asked, someone said, guide me to the way in which something that will help me to memorize the Book of Allah. And the Shaykh mentioned to him six matters. He said, I advise you to have yani inaya bil hifdh, yani to give your utmost care and attention. Give attention to this matter. And you have to be serious about it. وَالْإِقْبَالَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And that you be devoted and dedicated. And you go at it with devotion and dedication. وَإِخْتِيَارَ الْأَقَاتِ الْمُنَاسِبَةِ لِحِفْظِ. And that you choose the appropriate suitable times for memorization. Yani not every time of the day is going to be suitable for you to memorize. For example, time when you're occupied, time when you're distracted, time when you're tired, you're not going to memorize at that time. You have to choose the suitable times for memorization. Every person according to their situation. The Shaykh says, for example, maybe it could be for you the end of the night. Yani when it's quiet and calm and peaceful and you got some rest already at the end of the night. Or it might be after Salatul Fajr. And after Salatul Fajr, you had a good night's rest, and you prayed the Salatul Fajr and Jama'ah, and that might be a good time for you. Or it might be during the night, in the middle of the night, maybe a person gets up, that's good for them. Or any of the other remaining times when a person's soul is at rest, when a person is relaxed. So this will enable them, so that they will be able to memorize. And this is the third thing he said. Choosing the appropriate time. He said, also I advise you to choose a good friend, a zamil al-tayyib, a good friend who can assist you and aid you in memorizing and reviewing the Qur'an. You need somebody to help you, somebody who will be consistent with you, who will be concerned about you, will help you and aid you. And the fifth matter he mentioned, ma su'al, su'alillah, al-tawfiq wal-i'ana, and along with asking Allah to grant you success and to help and aid you. And the last matter he mentioned, التَّدَرُّ إِلَيْهِ أَن يُعِينَكَ وَيُوَفِّقَكَ وَيُعِيذَكَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ التَّعْوِيقِ. And that you humbly beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the way that you beg for something that you can't live without it. Yani the person who's in a very critical situation and they beg Allah to save them. This is the way you have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and to grant you to success in achieving your goal of memorizing two or three ayat in that day. And that He protect you from those things which will hinder and prevent you from achieving your goal. And the Shaykh closes, and we'll close with this. وَمَنْ اسْتَعَانَ بِاللَّهِ صَادِقًا أَعَانَهُ اللَّهُ وَيَسَّرَ أَمْرَهُ. That whoever seeks help from Allah with sincerity, صَادِقًا, with sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would definitely help him, and Allah will make his affair easy for him. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is what we wanted to present this morning, and we hope inshallah that this is something that we will take seriously and that we will make every effort to act upon what we have heard. And this is the way of the people of goodness, that they listen to the khair, yani that which came from the Quran and Sunnah and from the Salaf of this Ummah, the guidance and instruction and advice, and then they act upon the best of what they have heard. Any question? Naam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Does it still hold firm if you're reading it in its translation, English?
Well, the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever reads one harf min kitabillah, that they will get a hasana for them, and every hasana will be equal to 10, he said, لا أقول ألف لام مين ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ makes it crystal clear that the one who reads one letter from the Book of Allah means in Arabic. He said, I don't say that Alif Lam Mim is a letter, rather Alif, the letter Alif, that's an Arabic letter, that is a harf from the Book of Allah, and Lam, the Arabic letter Lam, is a harf from the Book of Allah, and Mim is a harf from the Book of Allah. As far as English or French or Spanish, they are not composed of Alif Lam or Mim or Noon or any other letters from the yani language of Quran. Will a person get a benefit from reading it in English? No doubt. No doubt, a person will get a benefit. Surely, a person reading the meanings that have been translated from the Quran in any language, if it is accurate, any translation, they will get a benefit, because they will become familiar with what is contained in the Quran, and they will be reminded, and they will be guided, and they will be inspired, and they will be yani motivated by what they read in the Quran of the rewards that Allah promised for those who believe and do good deeds. But is that hadith applicable to that in another language? No. And Allah knows best, but it can't be applicable. The Quran is in Arabic. Whoever reads the Quran is in Arabic. As far as reading the translation, no doubt everybody who does not comprehend Arabic should read the translation of the meanings of the Quran in whatever language they know, so that they can become familiar with the Quran and what it contains. But as far as reading Quran means reading the Quran. The Quran is in Arabic only. No translation of the Quran is considered Quran. Translation of the meaning of the Quran is just that. Translation of the meaning of the Quran. It's not Quran. It's not Quran. And for that reason, it's incumbent upon us, no matter how old we are, to sit down and take the time and learn these few letters of the yani Arabic alphabet. And some of us did it, even old people. We did it and we sat down and it took us a few months. But alhamdulillah, in the end, those who didn't know Aleph, Lam or Mim, they know Aleph, Lam and Mim and the rest of the letters of the alphabet. And in the end, with difficulty, we were reading from the Mus'haf in Arabic language. So it's not impossible, even for old people. Old people can do it. Some of those old people were in their 50s, and some of them were in their 60s, and some of them were in their 70s. Naam. At least one of them was in their 70s. At least one, or rather, maybe even two. Naam. So there's no excuse for us, and we, you know, believe that every person is capable of learning the letters of the Arabic alphabet, and thereby enabling themselves to be able to read from the Mus'haf, yani from the Arabic printed copy of the Quran, and recite the Quran in Arabic. In any case, if a person can't read, then the other option, the alternative, is that they sit with somebody who's proficient in Quran, who knows Quran correctly, not anybody, and let that person recite to them little by little, and they repeat what they hear until they are able to repeat something from the Quran. And this, they will get the reward for this. They will get a reward for every letter that they recite in Arabic. Just have a person say to you the words in Arabic and repeat it, inshallah. And try to have somebody who's proficient, so that when you learn from them, you will learn correctly, and they will correct your recitation, and you will get a reward for every single letter, even if you can't read. even if you can't read. It's not a requirement that you have to be able to read. Rather, you can recite, and that will be the same meaning, and the reward will be the same. Rather, it might be greater, because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever reads the Quran with difficulty, then they will get a double reward. They will get a double reward. So the person who amongst us has difficulty because of old age or because of not knowing Arabic language or whatever, inshallah, the effort that they make will produce a double reward. Instead of a hasana being 10, then whatever it is, multiplied by 10 will be doubled for them. Or more than that, as much as Allah wills. Now, any other question? Transliteration? What do you mean by transliteration? No. You mean the words, Arabic words written with English letters? Yeah, none of them. None of them are best. All of them are no good. That is destruction and ruin. Whoever reads from that, they will never read the Quran correctly. They will never read the Quran. That stuff is totally twisted. The best thing to do is, as I said, sit with a person who's proficient in the Quran, ask them for 10 minutes, even 5 minutes. Whenever you came to the masjid, please give me 5 minutes and read one ayah, or even a half of an ayah, and repeat it until you learn it. Repeat it 5 times, 10 times, 20 times until you learn it. Record it on a tape and listen to it. Person, yani recite to you, and record it. And you repeat until you get it right. And when you get it right, it's recorded there. And then you just keep listening to it.
Okay. They have some recordings on the Qusli and whatnot
on the internet. You can put on your telephone or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's good for sure. You know, it's good. Some reciters are better than others. Some of them are better for learning from, because the way they recite, yani, is more clear. And it might be slower, and it's easier for a person to repeat. They even have some, and inshallah we have this, they have some programs that have been set for a person to memorize the Quran where the ayat are repeated 3 times or 4 times or 5 times or 7 times. So a person just, yani, first sit with somebody who knows Quran, whatever ayat you want to learn, make sure that you have the ability to say it correctly. Make sure that they say it to you and you repeat it to them correctly, and then go back and listen to that recording and put it on repetition. Even, in fact, they have some programs where you can put it on repetition as many times as you want. Not 10 times, 20, 50, 100, or non-stop. And it'll just keep repeating the same ayat over and over and over again. And all of that is available. All of that is available. Of those programs? I don't know the names of any of them. But some of the young brothers, they can help you. Abdulaziz definitely knows about those programs. He can help you, inshallah. Naam. Any other question? Naam.
In the state of reading, in the translation, the application.
Naam. Can a person read the translation?
In the state of,
without being in a state of wudu?
That was my actual question.
I'm sorry. Naam. Naam. A person can read the translation of the meanings of the Quran without being in wudu. Even the person in a state of janaba, yani major state of impurity. The translation of the Quran is like reading any other book or newspaper or magazine. It doesn't have any sacredness. It's translation. It's a man's words that he wrote, trying to express what he understood from the Quran. It doesn't have any sacredness whatsoever. It's not applicable. That's not the ruling of Quran is not applicable to anything that has been translated in any other language. It's not applicable to that at all.
So if the book has both the transliteration and Arabic in it,
then that is different. Some scholars differ concerning this, but the general ruling of the scholars is that whichever one is predominant, the ruling takes and is in accordance with that. And if most of what is in that book is in English, but it has some Arabic in it, then it takes the ruling of an English book. But if most of it is Arabic, then it takes the ruling of the Arabic. But a person should avoid it. It's better to avoid it. Yani, this is the general ruling that the scholars have given. If the majority of it is English, but it has some Arabic in it, then it's not considered Quran. And the ruling is not applicable to it. And Allah knows best.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Brothers, you know today is the day of Arafah. So please, be careful today. during your fasting, for those who are able to fast, yani the Prophet ﷺ said that he expects and hopes and anticipates that Allah would forgive you your sins of the previous year and the coming year for whoever fasts on the day of Arafat. This is a very important day. It's a virtuous day, and we should engage ourselves fully in the things that will bring about the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah in this day especially. And the best of what? The Prophet ﷺ said, the best dua is the dua of Yawmul Arafat, and the best of what I and the Prophets before me have said is La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Naam. So please engage yourself in this day, as if you are fasting or even if you are not able to fast, engage yourself in doing of good deeds, remembrance of Allah, dhikr and dua, enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, and whatever else that you can do of good, being good to the people, charitable, kind, merciful, helping, aiding, and whatever you can do of good that earns the reward of Allah, especially in this day. The Muslims who are performing pilgrimage are standing on Arafat at this moment. People are on Arafat, and we are here in Brooklyn. Allahu musta'an. Try to do something in this day to make up for this musibah. Naam. This is a musibah that they are there in Arafat and we are here. But in any case, Allah has given us something, what? Fasting this day, removal of your sins from the past year and the coming year. And whoever does good deeds in this day, we expect that inshallah will be multiplied tremendously. May Allah grant us success in this day and in the days that remain. And tomorrow is the day of Eid, and the Eid Salat inshallah will be at Lincoln Terrace Park at 8 a.m. in the morning. 8 a.m. Not 8:15, 8:30, 9 o'clock, at 8 a.m. The grounds that we normally pray in is broken up right now. Directly behind there, there's some handball courts. That's where the salat will be held, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.